Welcome to today's edition of Time in the Vineyard with pastor teacher Jeff Torring. Today's broadcast is being brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Northfield, Ohio.
Second Kings chapter 11. And when Athaliah, the mother of Azariah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him, and his nurse in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Shur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that shall go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall encompass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in." And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guards stood, every man with his weapon in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony. And they made him king, and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "God save the king." And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by the pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with the trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword." For the priest had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." They laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king, and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal, and break it down, his altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And may the Lord bless His word. Our Heavenly Father, again, we do thank You for Your word that is before us, laying on our laps. It is the eternal word. It is Your word. And to it we give heed. And to You we give attention. All over the world, people are coming to hear from heaven, to hear from Your word, to hear the gospel proclaimed. So we would ask that You would bless our hearing, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day message. It is a challenging thing for me to come up with a very flowery message for Mother's Day. And so here we have a text. There isn't too much murder. There isn't too many things being slain. But nonetheless, it is a Mother's Day message. Now, it doesn't regard only those that are mothers. It would, of course, keep us all in regard, but especially women, I suppose. So if you're not a mother, it still includes you. But what I would like to do is throw our ribbon in here, and we'll come back to that and just touch on some of the high points to make the conclusion. But if you look back in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we're given some instruction on investing. Now, what a mother does, and what we all do, especially as Christians in the kingdom, we're supposed to be engaged in investing in things above. We're supposed to be actively trying to advance the kingdom, especially with children and motherhood. And so we are investing in Solomon, as he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, gave us some pointers on investing. So what I'd like to do is just go through some of these verses and look at them, and then hopefully encourage us as we leave here to be a little differently than we came. So as we're investing, we looked at three things. There's three T's when you look at investing: time, treasure, and talent. You have your time. Time is money. Treasure, of course, and our wallet or purses. And then, of course, our talents. And all of us have talents, and we're responsible for all three of those things that the Lord has given us. He's given us time. He's giving us treasure. And of course, to most of us, He has given some forms of talent. So as we look at these things, we're taught by the Word of God, we ask the Lord, teach us to number our days. We're not here very long. And so we have this short time that we're supposed to execute to advance the kingdom as much as possible. But we're taught in the Bible for a reminder of us to teach us to number our days, because things can get out of hand. Time can slip by and things can just race by, and before you know it, it's another Sunday has gone, another Sunday has gone, another month has gone. And where do the years go? So what I would ask you then is where do you see yourself in 6 years? Do you have a plan to succeed, especially for the things of the Lord? Because if you have no plan to succeed, that is actually a plan to fail. So where do you see yourself in 6 years? Where do you see your family in 6 years? In 6 years, I'll be 52. Think of whatever age you'll be in 6 years. What do you want to have done by then? If you think about it, 6 years, it can be considered a very long time. So wherever you are in life, 6 years, you could stop what you're doing, start as a freshman in college, get a bachelor's in 4 years, and then in 2 more, have your master's in a whole different occupation. You could be a completely different person within 6 years. 6 years. Hear what we're told by the wisest man, less than Jesus, of course, is how to invest our time. And so in chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, he tells us, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And the encouragement here is that in a literal form, now this is poetic, but in a literal way, he's telling them, cast your bread upon this river, and what will happen is the river then floats downstream naturally, and what will happen is somebody else is going to take that bread. Somebody likely who is poor, very well could be actually children themselves, that would run to the banks of the river, who have nothing to eat, and then would retrieve the bread, and then use that. What he is saying is I want you to invest, but not necessarily for yourself, but to invest possibly in those less fortunate. The poor, into children. In many empires, children were thought of as just in the way. They were thought of as just a problem. And of course, biblically, we don't think that way. They're a blessing. And so what he says is, cast your bread upon these waters, And then wait. It says, thou shalt find it after many days. And so he's saying that you have to think ahead. So according to us, 6 years ahead of after you've invested your things. Now we know that God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he tells us, also be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We can't always be thinking about today, especially in the kingdom, especially if we are going to raise up a generation that knows the Lord who will actually make a difference. We need to be thinking of God and country and thinking ahead. In verse 2 he says, give a portion to seven and also to eight. So what he is teaching there, and you think of seven as the full number. So the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, shall I forgive my brother seven times? Thinking, well, that's a lot, seven times. And then, of course, Jesus responds, no, not seven, but seven times seven. And so the word seven then is thought of as quite a bit, as almost a max, a full week's worth. But Solomon says, well, wait, give a portion to seven, but also to eight. In other words, go beyond what you would think is the normal. You would think seven, of course, is being generous. But he says, well, if you're going to give to the poor, if you're going to invest into children, or if you're going to invest in anything, give it all. Give generously. But after you've given seven people and say, well, I've given to seven people, and then you come across the eighth person who is a beggar and who is poor, don't say, well, I've already given seven. Go above and beyond and give to the eighth. He's saying this because he knows, and we've been taught, don't lay up your treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up your treasures in heaven. And in so doing, do it in a generous fashion. Not only seven, but give to eight. And of course we use this as a principle in your investing, even in this world. You diversify your funds, you don't put all your eggs in one basket, but you multiply them around. And so there's a lot of principles here that we can learn. But look what he says. He says, I have to remind you that this is kingdom work. This isn't just regular work that we're doing, but this is the Lord's work. We're investing in the things of the Lord. We're serving our King. We're going to bring people to the Lord. Now, and I say this especially with children, because all of the children that are born to us are born lost. They're born in sin. They have this natural tendency to cry their eyes out if they don't get what they want. You can tell these are sinners. Clearly, if they could have a knife in their hand, they would stab their mother to death. As a sin nature. And we have it too. Good night if you go without lunch. You're a crabby person when you eat dinner. So all these children that are around us, they need to be saved. They need to hear the gospel. If they don't, they will perish. And that is very serious. Could you imagine going to glory and having one of your children not make it? How serious that is. As a mother, would not you lay down your life? Literally, take a bullet. But you need to think ahead. Eventually, they're going to stand before God and give an account. And there's two lines to be in, and there is no other. They're either going to be in the good line or the bad. And now is the time, and now is the day. That is why he is saying, give your portions to seven and even to eight. He goes a little more and he says, because he knows that your thinking and our thinking is selfish. We are so selfish. We're going to come up with excuses. Why not to have to do this? And we're going to actually justify it to ourselves. Even though the severity of the issue and the importance of the issue, somehow, some way in our deranged mind, we're going to start to justify why it is that we can be lazy and why we can be stingy and why we can be selfish. And so Solomon knows the human heart. And so he says, look, and he gives an illustration in 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. They don't say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm only going to give you some rain because, well, tomorrow it may be a really hot day and I'm going to need some water for tomorrow. I need to save some for myself. What happens if I become thirsty? He says, no, the clouds, they're full. And when they become full, which they do, it says that they empty themselves upon the earth. And then what your next thinking would be? Well, if I do this, I need to be in full control and micromanage everything that I do. Because, you know, if I'm going to give money to the church or time or talent or treasure, what if they're not wise? You know, they're not as smart as me. I can make better decisions than everybody here. Isn't that what everybody thinks? That you're the smartest of everybody and that you're the king of your castle, aren't you? We're a very prideful people, more than we want to admit. So I'll give money, but I want to know where it's going. That's why he says in 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What he is saying is don't over control. Don't micromanage. The Lord is in control, and trust him. Now, we don't want to be fools about it. We need to be prudent. But watch yourself. You have to realize that we can learn from things that we don't think that you will learn from. Fools, even. So, again, he's saying in verse 4, another excuse. Because we're going to keep coming up with excuses so as not to be prudent in investing in the kingdom. We're going to come up with excuses. And they're petty. So then he says, look, in verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What he's saying is, well, it's not a good time to sow right now, because look at the wind. The wind is blowing from the east to the west, and if we do this, well, then it's not going to be good. And so this is not a good time to do what we're doing. This is not a good plan. The plan that you're coming up with in order to come across and invest into the kingdom is not the best plan in the world, and so we're not going to do it right now. And what you're just going to say, well, I'm going to hold on to my talents, time, and treasure in order for a better time to come. Okay? He says in 5 then, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Stop with your excuses. How long shall we wait? We overestimate what we can do in a day. And we underestimate what we can do in 6 years. Plot and plan for victory. The youth program, the Minutemen Project. I gave the devotion last week when the boys came in and were eating dinner. That devotion has been in my desk for almost 6 years, 5 years. I've been waiting for that long, for the time to hatch a youth project to teach men to be men. And here it comes. We need to win. Loss is not an option. We cannot come up with excuses and after excuses and after excuses. The Bible says, in all labor there is profit. So in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. Work from sun up to sundown. Work for the king. Serve the king. Because the very souls of people are in the balance. Paul writes, there are people who do not know the gospel, and this I write to your shame. They've never heard the gospel. And he says, it's to our shame. So sow in the morning, withhold not thine hand in the evening. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper this or that. We don't know. Sow the seed wherever it may be, or whether they both shall be alike good. So the encouragement here is to just get at the work. Do something and get at it. Because look what happens in our text back in 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings 11 and we'll just briefly run through the story. We read the story, so now we're familiar with it. But if you notice what happens in 2 Kings chapter 17 is a full revival. The country is in revival. And so we see it in 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 17. It says, and Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king. There's a national revival, a spiritual awakening. And he makes a covenant. And he does it with the Lord and the King, the national leader. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a president that would do that. That they should be the Lord's people. The Lord's people do things differently. We're not like the world. We're the Lord's people. He says, and then he made a covenant between the king also and the people. He's not going to be a tyrant. And then what happens in 18? They go through and they tear down all the false worship of Baal. They break it down, his altars, his images, all the idolatry. They kill the priest of the idolater. And we have this full revival in the land. But my question is why? Why did they do that? Well, it's because of verse 4. And we already read it. Verse 4, it says, in the seventh year, Jehoiada, the priest, he sends and he fetches a bunch of rulers, over hundreds, with the captains of the guard. He gets the Secret Service and all the congressmen and the senators of the land, those that are in charge of the different districts, and he brings them to him in the house of the Lord. And look at it. He makes a covenant with them, and he takes an oath of them in the house of the Lord, an oath of secrecy. He's saying, I need you to swear a covenant. I need you to swear to me. I'm about to show you something, but first of all, I need you to swear secrecy before I'm about to tell you what I'm about to tell you. All the leaders of the land. Then has them, they swear the oath, and it says then, of them in the house of the Lord, and he shows them the king's son. They had thought all the king's seed was dead. All the babies were murdered. Except for one. This is so special. We have a genuine seed of David king. And you didn't know. But again, the question then is why? You would have to back up to verse 3. And it says, he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. The child had been hid for 6 years. But then again, why? That's in verse 2. It says, but one woman, Jehosheba, one woman, not a man, which is interesting, isn't it? Out of all the men that are supposed to be strong and lead, and who are supposed to defend, and who are supposed to be the ones that stand up for righteousness, and who stand for justice, and who stand for this. We're supposed to have the men to do all these things. It was a woman who saved the king. She's the one who risked her neck. She's the one who thought it important enough to do this. She is the one who stands up and saves the king. But with all the thrill and excitement of the whole plot, you know, the daring thing, we're going to sneak in, there's a murder going on, there's a coup attempt, there are a lot of children that are born to the king. So it wasn't like 3 or 4 babies were killed. We're talking about quite a few children, infants that were slaughtered, 4, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old. There were many children that were born into the king's family. All those children were killed, and she slips in there, sneaks in there, and finds this child who might have been wounded and mistaken for dead, but grabs this child and then hides and runs. And out of all the excitement of that plot, that's not what's important. Because actually what is harder and what is important is the next verse. And it says in verse 3, and he was hid in the house of the Lord for 6 years. So for 6 long years, this girl hides the child. But she nurtures the child. She teaches the child. She's disciplining the child to become king. He is being groomed to become the king. So she risks her life of treason for 6 long years. Why? Because she knows the fruit will come. Because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. My word never returns void. You give them the gospel, and you give them the gospel, and you teach them, and they will become. Our commission is to make disciples, to discipline them. And if you do, and if you plot and plan and stick to it for just 6 years, there's a full revival in the land. And why? Because of one woman who thought it important enough to get up early and sow seed in the morning and sow seed in the evening and do it. Do you think that she didn't have excuses of, brothers, this isn't even her son? So you would say, well, I'm not even a mother. This wasn't her son. It's her nephew. But we are raising children of the King. Therefore, it is our responsibility to groom them to be children of the King. Without any excuse. And one day, one of them will rise up and shout his name. The name that is above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. So where are you? What are you doing? Teach us to number our days, because they are but a vapor.
You've been listening to Time in the Vineyard with Pastor Teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast was brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Northfield, Ohio. For more information, you can call the church at 330-554-7606 or check us out on the web at libertyvalleychurch.org. That's libertyvalleychurch.org.